46. During his years in the industry, Roger had seen a lot of film stages. Some of them had been on the big studio lots like Warner or Paramount. Some had been at the smaller stages that cropped up all over Los Angeles, like Lacey Street or Ren Mar or Raleigh. Most of the time, the stages held multiple sets. A few of them had been filled by a single, enormous construction project, and a few had been empty. Seen like that, stages looked a lot like airplane hangars. They had enormous floors and ceilings, two or three stories high. The room on the other side of the double doors was as big as any stage Roger had ever seen or heard of. It could have been the size of a small stadium. He'd never sat on the ground level of a stadium, so it was hard to be sure. Once the blast of heat had faded, they stepped inside. The room was rough stone, and Roger felt sure it was natural, not something dug out like the tunnel. Steel girders framed the whole thing, extending up in a dome 50 or 60 feet high. Heavy buttresses reached out to brace the walls, and his eyes followed them up. It was some serious construction work. Hanging from the center of the dome was a makeshift chandelier. Three big metal rings sat one inside the other, and dozens of light bulbs hung from them at different heights. At least half of them were burned out. What was left bathed the room in a light somewhere between yellow and orange, like an ongoing sunset. Six huge cylinders of black metal dominated one side of the room. Each one was 15 feet high on their round face and maybe 20 long. Heat rippled around them and they flickered, like mirages. Roger got a little closer and could see vents. Something reddish gold was whirling in there, racing around the inside of each cylinder at blurring speeds. They were the source of most of the noise echoing in the chamber.
"Holy shit," he said over the roar of the machines. "They're generators."
Roger saw the bundle of cables they'd followed back and forth for 10 miles. The cables split off and ran from, he corrected himself, the different generators. Behind the big machines, he could see some huge pipes running down into a ditch. They were as big as air conditioner ducts, and it looked like there were two of them for each of the generators. Nate walked past them and crouched down to look in the ditch. Whatever he saw must have been pretty cool, because he kept shaking his head and looking at it again. Zila was standing halfway between Roger and Nate. She was turning around in a slow circle, looking at everything. Her hands were fumbling with her backpack, trying to pull out her camera. It would have been quicker to look, but she couldn't tear her eyes away from the huge room. Her skin was gold in the yellow-orange light. Roger tried to picture laying out track for a camera dolly if the big chamber was a film set. The track came in 10-foot sections, and he guessed he'd need at least 20 of them to go across the room. Going from the door to the back wall was trickier, across the ditch, but he guessed it would take 15 pieces of track to run between them. Not as big as he first thought, but still a big room. He glanced over at Zila. Her camera was finally out, and she pointed it at one thing after another. He waved to get her attention and pointed up at the chandelier. She looked up and grinned. Her head tipped back, the camera went up. Her stomach went taut and her tits pushed against the green bra. Roger glanced over at Nate. He was still staring into the ditch. It didn't look like he'd moved. Roger waved to get Zila's attention again and pointed at Nate. She glanced between them and called something to Roger. He could hear her voice, but couldn't understand her over the noise of the generators. Zila turned and moved next to Nate. She looked down into the ditch. Her camera hung from her hand at her side. Roger took a few steps toward them. It was enough of a shift to give him a better view of the ditch. It was deeper than he thought, and it looked natural. It was a crack in the ground, and its sides were rough and uneven. Another few steps, and he realized he'd misjudged how wide the crack ditch was, too. It was at least 15 or 20 feet across. It was hard to be sure with all the heat ripples in the room. The big chamber was closer to round than he'd calculated, and it looked like the other side was a few feet higher than their side. Roger saw the tattoo on Zila's bare shoulder, an elaborate oval filled with hieroglyphs, and glanced down. The far side of the crack was still going down. What he thought was a ditch looked to be a canyon in the floor. Then he was next to her. Zila reached out and grabbed his hand. She had a strong grip for such a slim woman. It made a number of thoughts dance through his head for a moment. And then he was looking down, 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 down. Nate stared into the abyss. He didn't know if it stared back, but he was pretty sure it had singed his eyebrows. As it was, he closed his eyes and saw the red afterimage of the bright, jagged line he'd seen far below. "I'm not crazy, right?" he said to them. The words rasped at his overheated throat, but his friends were close enough to hear him. "Is this what I think it is?"
"Holy fuck," said Roger. "Holy fuck."
The canyon went down for miles. Nate had climbed to the top of the Hollywood Hills once or twice and looked out 10 miles or so to the Pacific. Now he looked straight down at least that far. It was a wound in the earth, a cut deep enough to draw blood. Not just a swell of red, but the bright pulsing blood that only came with serious injuries. They could all see it shifting and writhing far below, the filament of a 100,000-watt bulb. The heat rose up at them, an ongoing stream of air that made him squint. It smelled like fire. His eyes watered from it. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see it rippling Zila's hair across her scalp.
"Is this?"
She paused to rub her eyes with the heel of her hand, then she raised her voice to be heard over the rumbling generators.
"Is this a volcano or something?"
Nate let his eyes drift up to the edges of the huge crack.
"I think it's a fault line," he said. Roger shook his head. "Those are miles underground."
"We're miles underground," said Nate. "At least a mile, maybe more."
"Doesn't make any fucking sense." Roger shook his head again. "It can't be a fault line."
"It's just a little one, I think," said Zila. She looked across the canyon. "It's only 20 feet or so."
"And 100 miles down," Roger said.
Nate gazed past Roger. A dozen metal pipes hung over the edge of the canyon, each one at least 4 feet across. They reached down for the distant lava and disappeared into the distance. It was far enough that the huge pipes couldn't be picked out against the canyon walls. He was sure they kept going all the way down. He closed his eyes for a moment and then looked over his shoulder. A red rope of light burned across his vision. He blinked a few times and wondered if he'd damaged his eyes somehow. The pipes ran across the ground, held up on squat brackets. They almost formed a platform behind the generators. In fact, Nate could see some low catwalks stretching back and forth across them. There were tanks and valves and huge wheels to spin. It all led into the generators.
"They're geothermal," said Nate. "They run off the heat of the earth, the magma and all that."
Roger dragged his eyes from the chasm to look at Nate.
"What's that mean?"
Zila squeezed his hand.
"It means they'll run forever,"